Their talks on the formation of a new government continued into last night before concluding well after midnight. The leaders of Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Greens are meeting again today to address outstanding issues. So what has been agreed between the three sides and what remains to be done? In a moment we'll speak to Irish Times Deputy Political Editor Fiach Kelly. But first, RTE's Joe McGrailey was outside government buildings in the early hours of the morning when the core group of negotiators from the parties emerged. He spoke to Fianna Fáil's Barry Cowan and first to Mark O'Cahasy of the Green Party.
We are finished the plenary section of the process. There's a small number of remaining issues which are going to be dealt with by the leaders tomorrow before we get a final sign-off on the document. But we're happy that we've concluded our work as a core negotiating team. Today was a long day, difficult day. It required people on all sides to dig deep and work together to find resolutions. We are happy that we're going to deliver a very ambitious and radical and transformative programme program of government from this, what was an arduous process and a long process. And I think hopefully we have the foundations for a long-lasting government that can make real change in Ireland.
We've just concluded the plenary aspect of the talks of 5 weeks of active engagement, thorough engagement. And we now hand over the completed text and the issues still outstanding, minor enough for not many of them. They are indeed very pivotal and important too, but the leaders now will take over from here. We expect they'll meet tomorrow and hopefully approve the agreement, and from that then we'll engage with our parliamentary party and then of course our respective members throughout the country.
And Taoiseach Simon Coveney has also been commenting on the progress of the talks. This is what he told reporters this afternoon.
I think we did a lot of good work last night. I think we effectively have a text now for a programme for government with the need for the leaders to finalise a very small number of issues that they've been dealing with for a while now. So the negotiating teams have done their job. I think the text that will be going to the leaders today is good for the country, and I hope and I'm confident that the three parties will be able to sell it to within their parties, but also to the public. But really it's up to the leaders now to sign off on that text and to deal with the remaining issues. There aren't that many of them, but there are some.
Taoiseach Simon Coveney there. Well, the Irish Times Deputy Political Editor Fiach Kelly is on the line. Good afternoon, Fiach. Well, it seems the plenary part is over. The smart money says there will be a deal either today or tomorrow. From what you're hearing, what big things have been agreed so far?
Well, I think one of the main sticking points in the talks yesterday, those marathon talks, as you say, that went on to about 4 a.m. this morning, was the issue of transport policy and infrastructural spending on transport. The Greens have insisted that all future spending should be allocated on a 2-to-1 basis in favour of public transport over roads. But another sticking point was, before you even got to that point, the Greens were insisting on 10% of spending each on cycling and walking infrastructure. I think one of the big agreements was reached yesterday was that there will be a 360 million annual allocation to cycling and walking infrastructure. That was a big deal for the Greens. I think that's what got over the line yesterday. As well as that, we also know that there's the commitment to the annual average reduction in carbon emissions by 7%. The Greens' position that projects like Shannon LNG should go ahead, they wanted that scrapped and abandoned. I think they've got that as well. They've also got a ban on future offshore exploration. They've got that too. So there's significant wins here for the Greens and a number of key issues. Those have been decided by the negotiating teams. What hasn't been decided, I think, are other contentious issues between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. So the pension age, the Fianna Fáil leaders' insistence that the pension age increase due next year, go from 66 to 67, that will be put off. That has still to be finalised between the three party leaders. Also, the issue on Fine Gael's desire, not only for there to be no increase in USC or income tax over the lifetime of the next government, but if economic circumstances allow, a tax could be cut. That's to be settled. Social welfare policy, I also understand, has to be settled between the three leaders. And the Occupied Territories Bill, which has been a bit of a sticking point throughout the talks, that has to be settled too. But in terms of other subjects, it is the case that the path is there for agreement for the leaders. They just have to sign off on wording. So an example of that would be the carbon tax. The Greens have wanted the carbon tax to increase to €100 per tonne by 2030, up from its current trajectory of €80 per tonne. They also initially, at the start of this process, wanted the carbon tax to be restructured on a what's called a fee and dividend basis, where you'd get a check in the post, away from the current system where it's called hypothecation. So the revenues from carbon tax are reinvested in climate change policies. As far as I understand, the compromise has been that the Greens will get their €100 by 2030 trajectory, but the hypothecation model will stay. So you won't be getting a check in the post for your carbon tax. The money will be reinvested in climate change policies, but there will be a greater detailing of those climate change policies in future rather than what we saw last year. Other issues, I understand, that have been settled is people in Fianna Fáil, or Fianna Fáil priorities in the document are said to include a referendum on the right to housing, increased apprenticeships, increased funding for agriculture. There was to be a commission on taxation going into the future. My understanding is that's now changed to be a taxation and social welfare commission. Increased funding for third level to be announced within a month. That would probably tie in with Micheál Martin's desire for there to be a full cabinet post or a full department for higher education. And then their priority that there would be a United Ireland division within the Department of the Taoiseach. I understand that is in there as well. From a Fine Gael perspective, the issue of, I suppose, quality of life and the cost of life is said to be reflected in the document. So the party has wanted increased home care hours, a statutory home care scheme, reduced prescription charges, carer strategies, and other measures like that. Also reform of the pension system. So you would have a total contributions approach, it's being called, where someone's contributory pensions, their contributions, would align more closely with the contributions they've made throughout their time in the workplace. So those are the issues we think are in the document. Few issues to be signed off by the leaders, but it's looking like we will have finality on that tonight, and then it may go to the parliamentary parties tonight, but more likely tomorrow, that document will be shared with TDs and centres.
Well, Fiach, with all the issues you've mentioned there, it's no wonder these talks took so long. Now, if they do manage to get the agreement between the party leaders today, who will then have the biggest job in getting this past their membership?
Well, it's widely known that the Green Party's bar for accepting this deal is much higher than the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael bar. So Fianna Fáil have a one-member, one-vote system. It's a postal ballot. 15,000 members are expected to vote on it. The Greens have around about 2,500 people are going to be eligible to vote on this deal, but they need 66% agreement for this. Everybody will be watching in the next while to see if Catherine Martin, the deputy leader who led the Greens negotiating teams in these talks, will back the deal. If she does so, that will be a huge boost to this passing. It will be a signal to those in the membership that the person who is seen as the toughest negotiator in the talks is ready to throw her weight behind this. The indications from what people around the table in the negotiations over recent days are saying is that they believe she will be in a position to back the deal. But again, we have yet to hear from Catherine Martin. Fine Gael has a slightly more complex way of ratifying this deal, whereas Fianna Fáil and the Greens give every member a vote. Fine Gael operate on an electoral college basis. So that electoral college gives the majority say to the parliamentary party. TDs, senators and MEPs get 50%. Then that's followed by 25% for delegates nominated from constituencies, 15% for councillors and 10% for the party's executive council. Now, interestingly, there have been some rumblings in recent days that the Fine Gael membership aren't too keen on what is being put in front of them. So while it may have been assumed that Fine Gael would readily accept this, there seems to be stirring in the party membership that they are a bit restless. Some people in the party are estimating that almost 70% of members would vote against this deal. But as we see with the Electoral College, the whip hand is really with the parliamentary party. It's up to them really to drive this through. But we could see a situation in Fine Gael, as we saw a number of years ago when Leo Varadkar won the leadership of the party, that the parliamentary party backs the deal and there is unrest and disagreement amongst the membership. So those are the tasks facing the party.
Right,
in the
so
next
not
week
just
or two.
The Green Party, Fine Gael as well, also facing possible difficulties. Well, Irish Times Deputy Political Editor Fiach Kelly, thank you very much. David.
Joined on the line now by the Minister for European Affairs, Helen McEntee of Fine Gael. Minister, we heard there the issues that have been going to the party leaders, apparently pension age, tax cuts, social welfare policy, the Occupied Territories Bill. Is there anything there, in your view, that could stop this deal being done?
Well, good afternoon, David. I would personally remain optimistic, and I think all three parties are optimistic that when the leaders meet, this afternoon, while there are still some serious issues to be agreed, I think a huge bulk of the work has been done, as we've just heard from Simon Coveney there. A text of a programme for government is agreed. There's been a monumental effort, I think, over the last 5 weeks by all parties, and I would be confident and I would be hopeful that by the end of this evening, or indeed into tomorrow, because we don't really know for sure, that we would be able to sign off and essentially send this to all of our members, to our grassroots, and over the next 2 weeks engage in a voting process that could potentially lead us to a new government. What's important now, and I think irrespective of the issues, and I'm conscious that I'm somebody who hasn't, except for my own departmental work and priorities within European affairs and the foreign affairs agenda, I haven't been part of these discussions. But what's important and what we want to see is a government, a stable government, a majority government, one which is enabling us to rebuild our economy and to renew our society after what has been a very, very difficult few weeks and months for people. So there is still some work to do, still some serious issues to be agreed, yeah. But I am confident and I do think a lot of the groundwork has been laid for our leaders.
One of the issues is the pension age, which is due to rise to 67. Fine Gael was very strong on this issue during the election campaign. It probably cost you votes. It certainly cost you seats. Your former colleagues who are no longer members of the Dáil might look on aghast at the idea that you would now ditch that policy.
Well, I think when it comes to this issue, and again, without getting into the detail, there are a number of things that we have to look at. We have to look at the fact that we have a changing demographic, we have an ageing population, we have some people who want to work longer, we have those who don't or who can't, and we have to figure out a way that we can, in a fair way, address these concerns. And that's, I suppose, where we are now, and these are the discussions that have been had, and this is where the leaders will now have to sign off on a final agreement. But, you know, we want a system that's fair, we want a system that works for people, but that is sustainable in the long term as well. So this is what's been discussed over the last number of weeks. And as I've said, you know, to get into the detail and what the outcome of that might be would be to preempt what the leaders will decide later on today.
Well, as Fiacca Kelly was saying there, Fine Gael has the easiest pass to approval thanks to your electoral college system. But many party members might feel that's a disadvantage, that there's no need to cater for their concerns. So they'll ask, where is the Fine Gael impact on this document? Where's the shade of blue they might be looking for?
Well, firstly, what I would say is we've engaged in an outstanding outreach process, I think, over the last number of weeks. We've continuously engaged with our members at grassroots levels, with our councillors, with the various different groupings within the party to make sure that at every stage in this process, our values are very much seen and heard within any programme for government document, that it's consistent with our policies. And just to name a few, and some have been mentioned already, we want to make sure that in any programme for government, there is a business stimulus package. We know that particularly because of COVID, there are certain sectors, the tourism, hospitality, retail, leisure, these are going to need a particular boost. So what we want to see in the first 100 days is a package, and that this priority of a new government would be getting people back to work, getting business going again. There's also a particular focus on trying to ensure that we protect people's incomes, particularly as they get back to work. If you look at then moving on to a cradle to grave strategy, this looks at not just our younger population and putting support in place for childcare, but also putting in place a scheme that protects our older generation. And then if you're to come back to what I think is extremely important within our own grassroots members, is that we support rural Ireland, that we support balanced regional development within rural Ireland, and that we support our farmers, and in particular our REPS 2 package is something that we have encouraged and that we very much want to see as part of this, at the same time supporting our farming community to tackle the issues of climate change that I think every party wants to see us do. So there are a lot of things that we have been advocating for. I would hope and I would be confident that a programme for government will reflect a lot of these and that they will reflect our policies and our values. But, you know, to go back to the voting process, this process was presented by Leo Varadkar. It was agreed by our members in a democratic process. So this is, you know, something that members have agreed to. We have engaged with them consistently throughout this process. And I would hope that any programme for government that we would present to them is one that they would be able to champion because we are championing it based on our values and that there is a consistency of our policies within it.
Are you expecting a call up to the senior team if a new government is formed? Will you be in the cabinet?
I think my focus and priority and the same of everybody in our team is that we actually reach an agreement first and foremost, and whatever happens beyond that is obviously a matter for leaders.
Obviously, your time in the Department of Foreign Affairs has given you some diplomatic skills. Thank you for that, Helen McEntee. We're also joined in studio by Stephen Donnelly, Fianna Fáil health spokesperson. We've heard the broad shape there, Stephen Donnelly. When your party members are looking at this, what are you going to point to and say, there's Fianna Fáil?
I'm confident, David, that the Fianna Fáil members are going to see a very healthy imprint from Fianna Fáil. So in my own area in health, we're looking at a commission for older people. We need to look at the nursing home model that needs serious look, as we all know. Home care, a completely revised Fair Deal scheme is very important. We're looking at supercharging the National Treatment Purchase Fund, at least in the short term, to make sure that we can deal with a lot of the reduced capacity from COVID. A lot of people around Ireland are very, very scared right now about when they might get access to a doctor, when they might get access to an operating theatre. We've had a big emphasis on affordable housing. It's something we campaigned on very hard. In agriculture, I think there's a very interesting piece in there, which is there will be a food ombudsman who will look to make sure that farmers get a fair price. Because one of the things that farmers have said for many years is that as you move up the value chain, all of the money, all of the profit gets taken by others. Education is very important. It's something we have pushed on hard. It's very important for Micheál Martin. We're going to have an immediate funding package to address the crisis in third level funding, which is very, very serious in the light of COVID, in the light of the foreign students not being able to come. A lot of the environmental issues, I think full credit goes to the Greens for pushing on things like the 7%, but actually a lot of the environmental issues Fianna Fáil has pushed on as well, like the regional environmental protection schemes, biodiversity measures, in small businesses, a big push on apprenticeships. And really, David, the focus, my understanding is the focus from all three parties in government, and hopefully this does go through, because if there's one thing we do need, it is a strong and stable government for the next few years. The focus is on recovery.
Yeah.
Ireland has taken an unmerciful battering. We've obviously been dealing with Brexit and it's still coming. We've had COVID. We're dealing with a 30 billion euro borrowing issue this year. So, you know, economic recovery, environmental recovery, and critically in public services as well.
Okay. And yes, many members of the party, and I know you're a relatively recent recruit to Fianna Fáil, but many members of the party have a deep-seated antagonism to the idea of doing business with Fine Gael under any circumstances, no matter what's in the deal.
I think that's fair, and I think if you look to the membership of any party, not just the three parties that are trying to put a programme for government together, but if you go across any of the parties, there is mistrust. There is history, there is antagonism. Some members in every party feel like that. However, there's an awful lot of members in Fianna Fáil, I certainly in Wicklow and around the country. And I know there's a lot of members in the Green Party and in Fine Gael who are saying, look, we would all love to be leading governments. We would all love to be coming in and saying we're just going to implement our manifesto. The people spoke. They spoke very clearly. The numbers are what they are.
Didn't speak that clearly.
Well, the numbers are what they are. And there is a process going on. And I think all three parties know, and I think the membership of all three parties know, we do need a government. I think the members of their parties hopefully will be confident that their part, that they will see the imprint. I know the Fianna Fáil members will see a Fianna Fáil, very clear Fianna Fáil imprint on this, and that they will support it.
Okay, the behaviour and attitudes poll in the Sunday Times today shows 48% want Leo Varadkar as Taoiseach, only 18% back your man Micheál Martin.
Yeah, look, if you look around Europe at the moment, what you'll find is that most, if not all, governments have had a big electoral bounce because of COVID. I think that Taoiseach has done a decent job on COVID, and I'm not surprised to see that reflected in the polls. You know, what a difference a pandemic makes. I think if you did that poll in February, it would be different. But look, ultimately, that sort of sequencing is a matter for the three party leaders.
Okay, you mentioned some of your own area of health, but perhaps we could dig a little bit deeper into that. One of the problems that was exposed very starkly during the COVID pandemic was the lack of capacity in ICU. Is that going to be addressed?
It's going to have to be addressed. Healthcare is facing a perfect storm at the moment. So as we know, before the election, we had the longest waiting lists in Europe. We had the lowest number of consultants. We had the lowest number of ICU beds. Then COVID arrived. The waiting lists, through nobody's fault, obviously have gone up. Tens of thousands of extra men, women and children are now waiting. And even more difficult, David, is that the capacity from our system has gone right down. So what surgeons are saying is they can now see about half the number of people in a given theatre list. Consultants are saying they can see half the number of people in outpatients. I was talking to people who do scopes. So, for example, if you have a fear of cancer and you need an endoscopy, a colonoscopy, they're saying that their capacity is falling somewhere between 50 and 80%. So what needs to happen in health right now is three things. We need an immediate short-term capacity gain through supercharging the NTPF, through strategic partnership with healthcare. We have to do much more with what we have. So that means running the diagnostic suites longer, opening the operating theatres longer, very quickly hiring more doctors and nurses and other staff to do that. And the third thing we've got to do is we've got not just to implement Sláinte Care and universal healthcare, which is the goal, but accelerate it. So a huge amount of work to be done.
I wanted to ask you about a report in the Business Post newspaper today, which looks at excess deaths in a number of European countries. And that's the best way, the experts would tell us, to work out the real death toll from this pandemic. What's your reaction to what the Business Post report says?
I'm not at all surprised. It's an issue I raised directly with the minister and with the chief medical officer at committee and in the Dáil. And we didn't have these figures. The figures we had were reported deaths. Mm-hmm. And when you look at reported deaths, Ireland is in the top 10 per million people in the world. The question I was posing is, look, we're not trying to attribute blame here. This was a massive pandemic that swept over the country. Some brilliant work was done and some very big mistakes were made. But if countries like Germany and Finland and Greece and Portugal and Slovenia and Iceland and on, if they are at a fraction of the fatality rate we are we looking to see if there's anything we can learn from them? How did they approach it differently? Was their testing and tracing different? Was their treatment different? And so forth. And to date, the answer I've always got was, well, we're not really looking at other countries because we all report the data differently. And I have to say full credit to Susan Mitchell and to the Sunday Business Post. They've now got comparable data that says, look, we are in the top 8 in Europe. There's a lot of countries who've done a lot better. So this isn't about blame. This is about saying, if there are other countries who, for every one fatality they had, we had 5, let's see if there's things we can learn from them, because there probably are.
Okay, I asked Helen McIntyre, I better ask you, are you expecting to be in cabinet if government is formed?
I'll give you the same answer. Look, it's no secret that I would love to be involved in bringing universal healthcare into the country, but that is absolutely, the cabinet is a decision for the 3-party leaders.
Okay, Stephen Donnelly, thank you for joining us. Carol.
Now, Dan Boyle, Green Party councillor, was a key negotiator for the Greens the last time the party signed up to a coalition government. He joins us now from our Cork studio. Welcome to the programme, Dan.
Good afternoon, Carol.
Now, we haven't seen a deal yet. It's not a completely done deal, but it does sound like the Green Party is securing some major demands on that 7% emissions, on transport, etc. Are you happy?
Well, I think there'll be a gratitude within the party for the work done by the negotiating team. It certainly seems we're likely to see a detailed document, and I think it's important that it is detailed, and that the concerns that we've had about policy priorities are being dealt with seriously. And it seems, on the surface at least, that seriousness has been given. So the next phase is to have the internal debate to see whether it's enough for us to participate in government itself.
And I suppose so much of the debate over the past few weeks has been about this 7% annual reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. When the agreement is published, what needs to be in it? What kind of commitments do you need to see to reduce those emissions?
Well, obviously, careful attention will be paid to the carbon reduction programme and its impact on energy use, transport, agriculture. But I think many Green Party members and Green Party supporters will also be looking for the Green input in terms of social and economic policies and things like the area of housing, where we were making arguments in relation to better standards and better access for renters and social housing. So the detail isn't about narrow environmental issues, it's about the holistic approach of how the environmental issues affect all the policy issues that affect government. And that's the type of debate we're going to be having in the party.
And I suppose the fact that the Climate Council, it's believed, would have a role in monitoring how well we're doing with the 7%, is that something that would give you succour?
It seems significant. I suppose it has a lot to do with the makeup of the Climate Council itself. There are a number of economists on at the moment. Maybe it needs a more scientific balance as well. But certainly it's a body that has reported the flaws in policy over the last 10 years. And it needs to be taken seriously and needs to be given a particular strength to make sure that we can reach those carbon reduction goals, which we've been sadly missing over that decade.
And word that the carbon tax would increase eventually to 100 euro per tonne instead of the 80 that Fine Gael had been planning for. Obviously, this is designed to nudge people out of cars onto public transport, but wouldn't it also hurt people in lower income brackets in buying their fuel, etc.?
Well, again, it has to do with the detail, but it seems that the social welfare budget will have an aspect of whatever is collected from the carbon levy, and as a result, that's what we tried to do in the last government when we were in government, and I think we did it quite successfully. It hasn't been done since, and I think that's why much of the understanding and maybe even negativity towards the carbon levy has come into public debate as a result. Unless it's done in a fair and balanced way, we're not going to get everyone involved in our society understanding what we're trying to achieve with this. And I'm hopeful that the negotiators have managed to present, agree, and then present the levy in the way that it's meant to be presented.
Okay, lots of reading ahead for your members in the coming week. What's your best guess? Will this deal be passed?
It's going to be difficult. We passed in 2007 and again in 2009 with 84% support, I think, each time. But we also had votes when we were last in government over the Lisbon referendum, one which was lost by 2 votes and a second which ended up exactly on 2/3 votes of our membership. So it's going to be tight. And I think the nature of the debate is going to persuade or otherwise people whether we should be in government. But I think it's about reaching the 2/3. I think the party probably is in a position on a majority basis now of entering government, but we can't unless that 2/3 mark is reached.
Does Catherine Martin, the deputy leader, have to enthusiastically back whatever deal comes out today in order for it to pass the membership?
Well, I think Catherine has already, through her leadership of the negotiation team and the effort she's put into bringing the process to this stage, made a far pronounced indication of her commitment to the process. Okay. She's not going to take the membership for granted, neither am I. And I think that saying that this is the deal that the Greens can implement in government is something that she's already done by her actions.
Right, so it's fair to assume that she will back the deal then. Now, is the party then really going to change leader after getting this far under Eamon Ryan?
Well, that's a separate process. We have a election 6 months after a general election, and it's an opportunity to look at the direction of the party and the personnel who lead it and the style involved in that leadership. I don't see that particular discussion starting until after the party has decided whether or not to participate in government, and it'll, I think, be informed about whether or not the party goes into government.
Okay. And how big, Dan, would you say there seems to be a group within the party that is not interested in coalition at all, no matter what's on the table? How big would that group be in your party of your 3,000 members?
Yeah, I think this is something that is presented in a not very attractive way. The problem is that we have new members who are frustrated, and rightly frustrated, impatient and rightly impatient about the fact that the biggest issue facing the planet has been dealt with in Irish political terms in a very indifferent way. And we are 13 years on from when we were last in government, and the measures that have been taken since we've left government have made the situation worse. And see, what you're seeing in the Greens is an expression of that impatience and frustration. And I think that's going to inform whether we're going to try to meet the challenge in this circumstances with these potential government partners or not. And I think what will persuade most Green Party members at the end of the day is whether they think this is the opportunity of making the changes that are badly needed.
Okay.
And I think many members will.
All right. Dan Boyle, Green Party councillor, thank you very much for joining us today.